This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
Good morning.
I'm good.
Good morning, Jess.
It's cold. I was cold this morning.
Mark, you were wearing long pants. I don't think I've ever seen you in long pants. So, yes, it's definitely chilly.
Yeah. And they look new. They're relatively new. They're not faded.
Well, he probably bought them 6 or 8 years ago, but he wears them once a year. So. You're
right, spot on, George, as usual.
Yeah, it's been a little chilly.
Said 39 in Poway as I was driving this morning.
I think it was 41 at the house when I left this morning. So
no bad weather, just bad equipment. As long as you have the right
poor weather choice or clothing choices. Yeah.
Did you guys notice the moon this morning?
I did not.
No, I didn't.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Well,
it's actually it's visible here as well. There's no marine layer right now, so it's quite gorgeous.
Yeah, when you pulled into the parking space, you could have just looked right there. It would have been right straight ahead of you.
I was looking at you.
Aw. Is that why you were not sure glowing?
I was trying to make sure I was within the lines.
Something you don't do. I failed miserably. But I did notice as I was checking my parking, because George always critiques it, my right rear tire is flat or was half flat.
On the bottom, though, right?
So you're going to change it when we get out?
I guess so. We're all called AAA. I don't know. One or the other. I'll try and do it by myself like a big boy, but we shall see.
You know, we had the rain event over the past couple of days.
Let's add an S to that.
What?
Let's add an S to that, the rain events.
Okay, well.
We had a good week of rain.
The first one, which I thought was going to be the big one, turned out to be not that big of a deal, at least where I live, but yesterday we got quite a bit of rain out of that in the afternoon, because there wasn't much going on at work, so when it started raining, because I hadn't brought any fertilizer home before, I went home hoping that there would be a lull, and it worked out perfect.
Oh,
it worked out perfectly.
It doesn't happen often.
No, not for me. But I got home and managed to feed the entire backyard, and then it started raining, and then it actually hailed at our house.
Oh, God. I actually show you video. I was driving in the hail.
So I got my phone out to take
pictures of it so you can hear it.
That's where I thought you were going with that. Yeah. I was trying to stop you.
Yeah.
Hypothetical guy. Some guy with the camera driving, but it wasn't you.
No. I know. You're trying to get me off the hook, but it was me.
Formerly known as Prince.
But it was wild.
People
were pulled over under the bridge. You know, driving up Mission Center Road, and they're pulled up under the bridge. I kept going. And was happy as a clam. But it was loud.
Well, I imagine
there's probably little pit marks all over the car, but we'll see.
There are pit marks over some of the plants. We were looking in the vegetable garden. The softer stuff, the lettuce, some of the mustards are all.
Yeah, we're going to get
looking.
2 months from now, we're going to get people coming in saying, what's wrong with your aloes or their agaves.
Or bougainvilleas. That's right. With the hail damage. Hail damage is going to start showing up in the stores within a week or two.
Most fleshy plants will have pitted leaves. The sagos get them. And I got somebody texted me a picture of what is that purple leafed, succulent, upright, stemmy thing?
Calandrini?
No, Calandrinia will do it, but...
The rock purselaine?
Yes, that will do it, but there's another one that I cannot remember the name of, but it's...
An Aeonium?
No, well, that will too. You guys keep going, there's
going to be a lot of damage done.
Yes.
For sure.
And it'll... it already has begun showing up. I mean, it's on the plants now, but people are starting to notice it.
Well, yeah, sometimes I won't even notice it until things warm up a little bit.
It's muddy
more.
And wet, so a lot of people aren't going out.
Because they'll get brown in there, be brown spots, and they're going to want to know why. It's like, oh, remember when it hailed 2 months ago? It's like, no, it didn't hail at my house.
Yeah, it probably did.
I've had that, again, not argument, because it's not
Cynodinium. Cynodinium.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I know about, yeah.
I knew I could come up with it
there.
Eventually. Yeah. Yes.
But we got a decent amount of hail at our house, but nothing like that one storm we had. Oh God, was it like 15 or 16 years ago? There was a hail storm came through, and it looked like snow.
Yeah.
In scripture, my neighbor was out on his driveway with a snow shovel, shoveling the hail off of his driveway. It was, and then Melanie and I were going to dinner, over in UTC that night. We're driving down Pomerado Road, and it looked like a winter wonderland. I mean, there was hail everywhere.
Well, it was cool enough to maintain it, because yesterday morning on the north side of properties, as I was driving, you could still see piles of it anywhere where it was shady, and there's still the hail looked like snow.
Tuesday on my way into work, the same thing. The rain had gone, but the hail was still all over the side of 67 and at the top of Scripps Poway Parkway. But as you drop down into the valley, just after you crested the top, after you passed the one car upside down off of the Scripps Poway Parkway and one car on its side on Scripps Poway Parkway, there was no more hail. But it stuck for quite a while. And now, how long can we leave our sprinklers off?
I'm going to say probably close to a month.
I would think so. Anything that's established,
because it's
in
not
going to
be hot. Because even when it dries out, it's still not going to be hot.
Right.
So.
And even though it was a cold storm, we didn't get any. We have had no frost thus far from this.
No.
And it's supposed to warm up over the weekend, so I don't have to protect my potatoes that are sprouting out. Have you had to do any potato protection?
Well, the answer is no, but I wouldn't have anyway, probably.
I wouldn't have. Absolutely not, maybe.
Well, the answer is I should, but I wouldn't.
Gotcha.
That's what I guess I was going for.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the lazy gardener in me, I just let it go. Because if those tops die back, there'll be new
correct.
Growth coming up from those.
It really doesn't matter, does it? Because it's only the part above the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what a wonderful, I've never thought of it that way. I thought I was being responsible by inverting bulb crates over my potatoes to prevent them from being frosted. But what we care about is happening below. So
I've had potatoes in some containers that, as I mentioned before, I'll harvest some of them. And then if you fail to get them all, you'll have another batch of potatoes.
You know, I need to start listening to you guys on the radio. You make some sense once in a while.
Not often, but occasionally.
Yeah, only as directed by a doc. Well, anyway. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Melanie and I were up in Las Vegas earlier in the week, and the amount of snow in the mountains up there was incredible. I haven't seen that much snow in the mountains around Las Vegas since I was up there in 1986, I think it was. It was amazing. It's beautiful. I mean, when
I can
imagine. Snow in the desert is incredible. And over at Mount Charleston, they had several feet of snow at Mount Charleston. It was quite spectacular.
Well, we got a fair amount of snow, I think, up north, right? Mammoth is packed. So for our snowpack, for the potential for lessening any drought or potential droughts is good.
Or taking out the Oroville Dam, one or the other. We'll have to see what happens. But they were expecting like 8 to 10 feet in Tahoe.
Right. And the Central Coast, I heard, was going to get 8 to 9 inches of rain.
And Palomar was expecting 12 to 24 inches of snow.
That's a lot for that.
And Mount Baldy up in L.A. got 22 inches of snow.
Did you guys see the pictures of Highway 1 in the Central Coast?
I did. It's gone.
A little bit of a gap there.
Yeah.
So they did get that rain after all.
Yes, I believe it did come down.
But now, see, that's just got to be poor maintenance that's going to allow something like that to happen, in my opinion.
I'm debating whether or not to talk about Caltrans and their budget, or just to keep my I'll just let it go.
Okay, I'll let it go.
It was a lot of rain.
It was a lot of rain, but that was a huge chunk of of Highway 1 that
disappeared.
But once
it starts to go, what do you do?
What are you going
to
do?
Hydrostatic pressure, right?
And if you look just east of the roadway, it looked like the debris, like a lot of water had come down there and just washed across the road. And it looked like trees and stuff had all been stuck in a flow. I don't know if it was a fire or what, but when you get that much water on a steep hillside
with no plants to help retain it,
correct,
things can happen.
Yeah, something's got to give.
Yeah, we should probably just raise gas taxes for everybody to make it better.
That's what'll happen.
Plant more native plants on the chaparral.
If they'd had more potatoes on there, then there would have been more roots to hold it back, and it probably wouldn't have happened.
Exactly.
If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. But, you know, that's a question that I've always wondered about, too, is you have an area that's pretty well covered with vegetation. And say you have a fire that goes through and it burns the vegetation off, but the root system is all still there. Why does that not hold it in
place?
There's
less to slow things down.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, it just totally... It burns away the debris that's on the ground that will help to slow things down.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a whole different ball of wax. It's
a whole different dynamic.
Yes. I know when I moved into the house where I live now, every winter, even though in the disclosure forms on the real estate documents, there was never any water runoff or flooding on my property, every winter, water would run down the lower portion of the property above me, property above them, and it all ended up in the neighbor's swimming pool at the bottom of the street. And since I moved in and the people next door to me and the other ones have all done a little bit of planting and cleaning and changing of things, mm-hmm. we don't have water running down the center. The plants have done their job, and it can make a big difference.
And the guy's pool's nice and clean right now?
It is. It was... Oh, that was a lot of water and mud, and it all ended up in his pool.
Oh, that would be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
No fun. Oh, let's see. What do we got going on?
That's because we didn't have potatoes at the time, and now we have potatoes, so it's all...
I'm pretty sure that's not the best plant.
I think it's the solution.
Perhaps to help
plant more potatoes.
And then there'll be food for everyone.
Exactly.
Speaking of potatoes, we are expecting organic seed potatoes next
month. Well, yes. This next month, which is
Monday.
Tomorrow. Sometime. But it harkens back to last year when I don't think they showed up until the end of February. They were late last year.
You and I were
talking
about that yesterday afternoon. Yeah. We both put our winter crop in rather late.
Yes, but they still did fine.
Oh, they did great. We were harvesting them in July.
It's made me, that episode made me rethink potatoes, and I have them in the ground this time. I mean, it took me, a month and a half longer than you planted yours when you got them. Mine sat in a bag for a month and a half, and
are doing great, though.
They're doing great. They look really neat as the rosettes, the foliage rosettes come up out of the ground.
They're really a dark, rich green. Yes. I enjoy that part of it. Absolutely.
And even the eye... that was probably 3 or 4 inches long and thinner in diameter than a pencil and white because it was in a bag in the house. That is dark green. It is about the diameter of a Sharpie now and has leafed out. And it's been only a couple of weeks.
And that's in the ground?
Well, yes. I took my straw bales.
His raised bed of sorts.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And I did not turn the ground below.
No.
I just added good soil and compost on top of them. And I put down a couple of inches and then put the potatoes in, and now I'm building up as they grow.
Filling.
And I took the southern hay bale or straw bale that was shading it, because as I'm planting, I'm only planting the first 2 inches of soil, and mm-hmm. I'm going to build up. So it's at the base of the straw bales. And on the north side of the straw bales, it's in the shade. And since it's cold, I pulled the one to the south away so that the sun would hit and warm the soil more. And then as I build it up and as the sun gets higher in the sky, then I will push
the bale back
into place. That's my theory.
It's a lot of work.
I was going
to
say, that's not going to happen, though.
It might.
This last year, from this time last year, he has been very in, obviously, as you've been listening to this morning, he's very into potatoes.
We talk about potatoes a lot.
We do.
You know, funny thing about that is I still have a bulb crate with last summer's harvest sitting on my porch. I don't know what I guess I should just plant them because I haven't eaten them.
Plant them or eat them, one or the other. If you want to give us a call today, we'd love to talk to you. 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We are going to take a break. We will be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back. I learned my lesson with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. And I think we're going to talk about something besides potatoes, but I'm not sure.
You don't like my potatoes?
I didn't say I didn't like potatoes, but we do, like we said, we do have organic seed potatoes coming.
Oh,
in.
That's right. That's where
we're going.
Yeah.
But we do have the non-organic, and you can grow them organically. Once you get them, you can plant them in organic soil. You can use organic fertilizers. You don't have to use any pesticides. But we do have the multi-color bags of the red, white, and blue potatoes.
Yeah.
So if you are a patriotic American, you should plant the multicolored bags of potatoes.
Now, have you planted those? Did you do that?
Pardon?
Did you do that? Have you planted those?
No, I just planted the ones. I just planted the ones I bought in, what was it, the early December?
I thought it was earlier than that. But
early November. Yeah. I put those in the ground this month, so this year. So I'm good. We aren't going to talk about potatoes.
No, we're
though.
Done.
Even though, what's your name, Mark?
Mahady. It's Irish, yes.
What's your experience in?
Oh, I love potatoes.
Okay, good. I'm going to bring you the potatoes off my front porch.
Beautiful. I might. But just I'll the eat ones... most and plant some.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. All right.
Before we leave the potato topic, I've never grown them myself. So although now I'm kind of getting interested, but. If I bring them home, they'll probably just sit in the bag in the garage. But pests on potatoes, is there anything that really goes after them?
I've had a lot of snails and slugs eat the tops. There is a beetle that will get onto the tops as well, but they're pretty.
Wire worm or something that'll get into the
tuber? There is something in the soil, but
tuber?
I've not seen that here ever in the 5, 6, 8 years I've been growing them.
I've been growing them in containers, and I haven't had any issues. None with any bugs, not even slugs and snails.
And because the soil is typically very loose you do get the green fig beetle larvae in there, that big grub, but they don't harm the potatoes at all. They're just eating the decomposing material in there.
So detritus. They're
fine. So, yeah, I've never had any big issues other than some snails and slug damage on the top.
Then I wonder what happened in Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, that was, yeah. I mean, there are diseases that will get them.
I was going to say
fungal
that.
Fungal diseases and such.
I thought it was a fungus or something that caused the famine.
Probably cooler, wetter soil.
Well, it's going to be cold and wet. Yeah, that's true.
Would be more conducive to that. And we generally don't have that until now. As I've gotten my potatoes into the ground, we're having cool, wet weather.
We are. But it's a solanum. I mean, it's like a tomato, so it can get blight. It can get a number of viral disease. I mean, fungal diseases. So that does have potential for that. Powdery mildew, too.
You know, I was pretty excited about my potato crop and growing them, and everything's been going swimmingly, and then you guys throw this out? Disease, pestilence, famine?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
You'll be fine.
Enjoy your
potatoes. I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Thank you.
Let's see. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going out to Lakeside where Alan has a question. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing great. Thank you very much. No tuber talk, just pulling the orange talk.
What are you doing in Lakeside?
I'm having a good life. And when I was still working for AT&T as a technician up in Northern California, my dad had retired from his second career for IBM. And he said, Alan, you got to come down to San Diego. Just living the life in paradise.
I would believe that. I would not disagree.
He was good. I mean, he had a good 12 and a half years before cancer got him, and I was so happy for my dad. He worked his way up from nothing in Indiana as basically a grunt for the Navy, and all the way up and married my mom. And my mom was more ambitious than he was, and my mom talked him into spec houses. When she was a realtor, my mother got her real estate license when my youngest brother, who was born in 66, was 7 years old.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Oh, God, yes. You know, we were not permitted to fail. No. You shall not fail.
Failure is not an option.
No. But the thing is, you cannot grow things you cannot control, and you cannot control your environment when you've got possums and rats and everything else. And my issue here in Lakeside, I'm off of near Lake Jennings Park, and we're on the hillside area. And man, we got all kinds of little small critters.
Oh, I would imagine.
I can't grow a garden. I'm not going to cage my garden in. I refuse. But anyway, back to Valencia oranges. I did top off the trees in the backyard by about a foot and a half. Had a couple of dead spots that were just like bare, like brown wood for a couple of years. And I just don't want to overdo it like we talked about last week. And, hey, these guys are good up in Poway. Go visit these people in Poway, please. Buy their stuff.
Thank you.
But anyway, you talk about tubers. I would love to be able to grow some horseradish.
Oh, it's easy.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of things you can't control.
Yeah, they're easy.
I mean, talk about good horseradish, Tule Lake, California.
We are expecting some horseradish late next week. So in 2 weeks, both stores should have some bare root horseradish for you to take home and plant. We would suggest that you put it in a container or in a controlled area because it does like to spread, doesn't it?
Yeah, it'll... Yeah, you put one in, you'll have a lot. So growing in a container is the easy way to do it, and it's pretty easy. It's pretty bulletproof. Just let the tubers grow. When they get big, you pull them out of the ground, cut the tops off of them, peel them, and you can process them in a food processor.
Of course, then you're going to have horseradish, which I don't know what its purpose is on this planet.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. That or sauerkraut, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. So I didn't realize you didn't like horseradish either, huh?
It is the... Oh. We can come back to beets. It is the beet of my world. Anyway. Listen to us next...
I don't want to beat you guys up, but I grew up in San Diego and moved up to Northern California, where in Manteca and Tracy, they grew the big, big sugar beets. So I don't want to beat you guys up.
Alan, listen to us next Saturday, and I should have an update on the horseradish. It either will be there and I can announce it, or it'll be the following week and we'll have it. But it's shipping next week.
Okay, now what's going on with bare roots?
They're disappearing. Oh, the roses are still fairly plentiful, but we're starting to sell out of certain varieties, and the fruit trees as well. The demand this year has been much greater than any of the past at least 5+ years, and like, even like though 20. We ordered more,
yeah, I was gonna say,
it's disappearing quickly. So if anybody wants roses or fruit trees, and you know you want them, I would get them now. And if you're not ready to plant them, you can put them in containers or have us pot them for you, because they're going to be gone soon.
Okay, my last question. Growing up in San Diego, moving up to Northern California, spending 30 years up there working for the AT&T Corporation, a lot of pistachios, almonds, walnuts, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can we grow pistachios down in San Diego County?
Not well.
In East County, San Diego, Lakeside.
We've had people try it. I have not heard of anybody that's been successful, really successful with it. You have to have both male and female.
And we do have in Poway at least one 15-gallon pot of the two planted together. But
as I understand it, they'll grow here. It just doesn't get, you don't have a long enough, hot enough summer for them to develop the fruit or the nut on it.
Yeah, they need the Central Valley kind of heat.
Right.
And duration.
That's the equivalent of the Iranian and Pakistan, Afghan issue is, super hot, no water. You just water what you can, and they freaking grow. You know, God is great. God's wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan, very much.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right. Thanks, bye-bye. Alan. Have a great weekend.
It's funny that you tell people that they need a long, hot season. Well, I live in Ramona. I live in Lakeside. It's hot here. Well, yes, but it needs to be even longer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it looks like, it seems like it, but not by their standard.
But on the other hand, though, too, the other ones that he mentioned, walnuts and pecans, those will do fairly well down here. As a matter of fact, there's a botanical garden in Fallbrook that's absolutely spectacular.
I can't think about it.
I'll have to think about it. But right out in front of there, they have a big house that's where they have a restaurant and it overlooks a big pond, small lake. They're the biggest pecan tree I've ever seen.
Is it Myrtle Creek?
Myrtle Creek.
Myrtle Creek. Yeah. It's a spectacular place. We need to take a break. If you want to give us a call, we would love to talk to you. Number's 888-344-1170. We're going to be back with more right after the news, so stay tuned. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back. People came. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. As a matter of fact, we are going to go take a call right now. We're heading to the East Coast. We're going to Florida where Claudia is waiting. Good morning, Claudia. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Claudia here, longtime listener. Was bummed when we left San Diego, but you guys brought up the topic of pistachios and needing heat. And so I'm curious, is the Florida humidity heat too much for them?
That's an excellent question.
That is an excellent question. For some reason, I think it probably would be.
I think the humidity would be an issue.
I think the humidity would be the problem. I don't think the heat obviously wouldn't be, but I think the humidity could be. And you're in the northern area of Florida, right? Tampa area?
Dunedin. So we're right outside of St. Pete's. We are actually in zone 9. We're right on the border of 9B and 10A. And okay. So, like, we cannot grow coconut trees here, but we have regular palm.
And it sounds like you also can grow oak trees there.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah, that's another issue we have, is that the oak trees have been shedding their acorns now for the last 3-4 months, and we have millions of them. So I'm trying to figure out what to do with all those acorns.
Well, I think you can grind them on rocks and then boil them. Or is it the other way around?
Boil them and get some tannins out or something.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of dealing it. While we were looking at each other and chatting with you, George was actually looking up to try and give you useful information, but he's shaking his head.
Well, I'm finding a lot of UC California for pistachios. I haven't found anything from Florida, but that would be my recommendation, is to look at the University of Florida and see what they have in their agricultural department, their co-op.
What about winter chill? Chill hours, would they be able to get enough there?
That I haven't found that out yet. Wasn't thinking that way.
So we do actually know, everyone warned us about the heat. Mm-hmm. No one said a single word about how cold it is. So this morning when we woke up, it was 44.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so all those nor'easters that go across the U.S. when we watch Al Roker talking about all that, we get the cold winds that come down that have been frigid. And we've actually, so we just got another one 2 nights ago. We don't get higher than about 65 during the day right now. And we're supposed to get another one in on Sunday. And so they will give us some frost warnings for our tropicals, like the plumerias and things like that, telling us that we should wrap them.
Well, it sounds like San Diego.
But I'm looking at the pistachios from one of our wholesalers, and they're in the 800-hour chill. So I can't imagine you accumulating 800 hours there.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No, darn.
But there are plenty of things that you can grow. So start embracing something different.
Yes, okay.
You don't need pistachios. They come in the cute little bags, and they have...
And they're already salted.
And they're... Yes.
And salted and roasted.
And the shells are cracked, so...
And they don't dye them anymore, so your fingers don't turn red.
Yeah. So I think that's the way you need to start looking at this.
Yes, this is true. I guess I can just go back to the mangoes that everyone else is growing.
Oh, that is so sad.
I know.
Something a little different, yes.
Something a little different, yeah. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
It was nice talking to you, Claudia. Say hi to Rob for me.
Will do. Talk to you.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
That is someone we know.
It is.
When I say we, you.
Yeah. Yeah. There are really good friends that used to live in Scripps Ranch that moved to Florida just about a year ago. Almost a year ago, exactly. So.
Going to have to get her some acorn recipes.
Maybe I'll go to the Museum of Us and see what they have in their archive. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to talk to Ted in San Diego. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Well, guys, really like the show.
Thank you.
I have a question for you. My daughter and I grew an apple from an apple tree from an apple seed, so it's about 8 feet tall now. But I'm pretty sure everything I've heard is it'll never grow fruit on its own. We have to graft it. Am I right there?
No. It should eventually produce fruit on its own. What will happen is you just have no idea what the quality of the fruit is, what the size is, or whether it's good eating or
if it gets enough wind or chill.
Yeah, you may develop a variety that's the new bestseller going to the market, but the chances are slim that will occur. We did a thing about seeds several years ago, and I believe the numbers were somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 in 80,000 seeds has any potential to even be considered for the market. Go ahead.
If I wanted to graft, where in the world do you find an apple grafted?
Any of your friends and neighbors that may have an apple tree in their yard, you just take a cutting off of that tree.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be a ninja now and just patrol the neighborhood.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, what is the qualifier on that, the caveat, George?
Well, the caveat would be that it's a non-patented tree that you're taking that cutting from, which is called a scion. You don't want to take it from a patented tree because that is illegal.
It's a violation of federal plant patent laws, and we don't want to have you running afoul of the law.
Well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate that. I'm just happy that it's growing, so I'll take a win right there.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right, take care. You get it. You got it 8 feet from a seed. I think I'd just wait and see what happens.
You can always graft on one side
and let some of the other. Anything from a seed, I mean, typically, you know, trees have to go through puberty as well before they're going to start producing fruit. So that's why all of the trees that are grafted will give you fruit far more. Much earlier and more quickly than at the same, you know, from a seed. So,
well, that's like avocados take years,
right?
But I got
to produce.
I'm getting good avocados now.
And I had a pomegranate from seed that took, I think, 7 or 9 years to start bearing fruit. A peach tree that I have from seed that took a year or so.
What was that caller's name? The apple tree guy?
Ted.
Ted. Mm-hmm. So we have Cox's Orange Pippin, Anna Apple, Gordon Apple, Dorset. All these are people's names. So the next one could be Ted's.
In theory,
Wonder.
Absolutely.
Ted's Wonder Apple. Yes. And hopefully he'll remember this when he has made a fortune off of his Apple royalties and he'll share them with us.
We can hope. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go talk to Phil in San Diego. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Good morning. A couple of questions. I have tomatoes. I have raised beds. They're about 25 square feet and I've got 5 of them. And I have tomatoes that I planted last March that are still producing tomatoes.
Okay.
Should I pull the plants out and put in fresh plants, or, you know, you go from year to year? As long as we don't have something that kills the plant, it seems to be still producing. Each plant is only producing maybe one a week, but with 4 plants, that's enough for us.
It's better than my chickens. I always say hang on to them until they go. But I also say, what do I also say? The spider mites.
Overwintering tomatoes will get spider mites typically.
But every year when I keep mine and leave them in the ground after swearing them off year after year, then a killing frost comes by and destroys them. But if you're in a warmer spot and don't have that problem, I just continue enjoying them until the weather warms up. And then you can either replace them when the weather is more conducive to planting new tomatoes, or just keep enjoying the one you have.
Now, we have Farmer Roy who always says, rip them out and put new ones in the spring. That's his philosophy. I also have left them in the ground in spots where there is particular warmth. I'm doing an experiment in Poway right now where it's not working as well because it's just not warm enough to maintain the buds. They're just not...
Get a sleeping bag and a blanket and go out and sleep with it and put the blanket around it and cuddle them. Yes.
But my house in PQ, they're near a rock wall and they get enough heat throughout the night to sustain them. And I've had good production. But you're right, it does. They slow down in the winter, and typically the tomatoes are a little bit more thicker skinned.
Do you still have some?
And all the tomatoes seem to be a little thicker skinned. Everything I grow every year, we believe it's just soil instead of commercial farm that lets the plant become what it is. But it's black crim and early girl tomatoes, which to me sounds like it shouldn't be a all year long tomato. The second part of that question is, if I'm replacing plants, I just take that out, put a new one in. But if I'm going from seed, I noticed all the landscape nurseries, et cetera, that have seeds have now had a recent this year's seed influx. When should we be able to, in San Diego on the coast, when is the smart time to plant directly into the raised beds?
I would think a couple of months. It depends on the weather. If we have weather like the January warm, dry weather starting in March, then I would say go for it. But if we have, after you plant them, a cool, wet period, they usually suffer a setback.
If you have room in your house and a bright sunny window, if you want to try starting them indoors, you can get a little bit of a head start. You can get them sprouted, get them established, and then transfer them out into the garden. Say the end of February, early March, and you can get a little bit of a jump on it, and you'll give them some protection too through the kind of shifty weather that we have towards the through March, February and early March.
Okay. I just thought maybe you guys were better weather guessers than the guys on TV.
Oh, no.
We're just as good as the guys on TV. Yeah.
Now, if you think they're bad.
Remember, if you're hitting 250 as a weatherman, you're a good one.
I would say that's pretty accurate, yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Phil. Have a great weekend.
I will.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Carolyn, stay on the line. We're going to talk to you when we come back. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KPRZ and KCBQ.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to head out to Poway and talk to Carolyn. Good morning, Carolyn. How are you?
Hi, fine. You got me tapping my feet and singing along to your music.
Nice way to start the morning. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I love your Poway nursery. And my brother and sister-in-law live in Scripps, and I cat sit for them when they're away. And they just aren't taken care of. They've got two big pots and their patio, and they have bougainvilleas in them, and something's eating them up, and they just think, oh, it'll improve and improve. And I took a picture, and I've been meaning to bring some leaves to you guys, and just got any suggestions?
Well, what is it that
it's a looper, a little caterpillar,
right?
Yeah, a little caterpillar gets on them that just.
That ravages
them. Ravage them.
Oh, yes. Just having its great time eating away on those. I mean, it's just, wow. But I have one more question, too, and thank you that you know that I'll come and tell you, and then you'll show me what to get, what spray or whatever, right?
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Can we tell her now, just in case somebody else?
Yeah.
BT or?
Spinosad.
BT or spinosad?
Yep.
Or I mean, if,
or a pair of tweezers and a lot of time.
Lots of patience.
Oh Lord.
I mean, if that's all that's there, and you want to use a chemical, use the rose and flower spray. But I mean, the other two, this BT and the spinosad, are organic. They're not going to hurt anything. You can use it on vegetables or herbs if you have other problems.
Or bougainvilleas.
Or bougainvilleas, yes.
Yeah, that okay, should take care great. Of it for you.
Okay, now what was question two?
Okay, thanks. I have good friends that have been in Mira Mesa for 40 years or more, and their neighbor has these two tall palm trees. And this year, you know, they are just going crazy with all, on their driveway, all these black pods that are dropping. And seeds. Is there some reason why they're doing it more this year, or is there something wrong with those trees?
No, it's. I mean, we'll have weather, wind. I mean, we'll shake them out of the tree. Some years we may not have as much wind where they don't.
Or the trees are much healthier and they're producing more this year, yeah. and there are going to be more seed pods available.
Oh, wow! So there's. It's just going to have to be something they have to put up with then.
Yep,
that's what it sounds like. Yeah.
I mean, unless somebody goes up there and cleans them out, I mean, you can hire somebody to do that. But most likely, yeah, you're going to have that problem. But
okay, because yeah, and of course it's the neighbor's tree, and that's the problem. Sometimes they just let it go because it's expensive.
Correct.
Okay. Well, thanks again. Love your program.
Thanks, Carolyn. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Thanks. Take care.
She's the most enthusiastic human that has ever called us.
She may very well be. Let's see some of the stuff that we've got coming up.
The winds that we had in this last storm were blowing
that was,
things.
That was probably one
everywhere.
Of the biggest winter wind storms that I can remember here.
Did you see they lost 15 giant sequoias in Yosemite?
I did not see that
during this last windstorm. Yeah.
Well, that's the most damaging thing at the nursery for us, I think, is wind. I mean, for us.
Yeah, us too, because everything blows over.
Balls on things.
And when that happens, we just
leave it.
We just leave it. Because you go out and you stand it back up, and 10 minutes later.
You'll be doing it all day.
Right.
And it
breaks more.
It breaks even more. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a wind can be a big issue.
We could solve the unemployment issue just by having people stand next to each plant and hold it up, and then it could stay up constantly. We could have somebody there for each plant. All right, what's on your list?
Some of the bare roots. We got a restocking of the sleeved bare root.
Did you guys get more sleeved stuff in on Thursday from Dave Wilson?
I didn't see it. I don't think so.
I went through their availability and what was left, and you there was not a lot of stuff. We did try and restock.
Well, we got quite a bit of stuff, though.
Yeah.
I was surprised how much we were able to get. But we also have, in Poway, we have asparagus bare root and rhubarb bare root. So if you want to grow either of those, we're hoping we will get some UC-157 asparagus.
1 year roots in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
Yes. So
we shall see.
I've had too many complaints about not having UC-157 asparagus this year, so...
No,
we didn't have
it last year, did we?
Well, yeah, but nobody complained last year.
Okay,
so
no, you're right.
It wasn't as concerned. And actually, 1 year ago now, we were starting to worry about COVID everything was changing.
Good
point. Didn't have the time to focus on that. So, yes, we should have some UC and two new blackberries if we're going to just go crazy and start talking crazy talk. We should have two new blackberries.
And which ones are those?
Cato and Ponce.
And is there anything about those two that
they're supposed to be good early producing mild climate berries. My berry guy says that one of those two is very similar in description to his current favorite, which is Wachita.
Okay.
Which I could not get more of. It should produce early, and we want ones that produce early so that the heat doesn't blast them and destroy the fruit. So, he's very excited that it's coming in from the University of Arkansas.
It was from Arkansas, correct? I don't know if it was
and
university.
And I don't know if you or Arkansas State. What? Anyway, right. the I should know the answer to this, but 2 weeks, and we'll let people know when they arrive.
Are we getting any strawberries in also?
Yes, you're going to get some. I think it was just All Star.
Okay.
And what are the other two? Sequoia and
Eversweet.
Seascape is the other one.
Oh,
we're
going to
get some seascapes in this order with the asparagus.
Okay.
But back to the asparagus, the UC series, right, the 157, I mean, people have been clamoring for that because it's supposed to be much more disease resistant, right? I mean,
and
that's
productive.
Why people want it.
And productive, right. Yes. Yes, it is supposed to be one of, if not the best, for not only here, but in many, many areas of the country. It is an outstanding producer.
We did carry it, what, 2 or 3 years ago? We had a bunch of it.
Yes.
There was a big upheaval in the business with a couple of bankruptcies a few years ago. And it's kind of hard to fathom now with the nursery business the way it is, but it wasn't like that not so many years ago. And so supplies began to dwindle, and that was one of the casualties of it.
Right.
Yeah. So went all the way to Arkansas. I spent a couple of hours on the computer going from website to website, and I found one, I think, I don't know, was it you? And it was like $25 for
you and I were looking,
or $50
right?
for 10 crowns or something.
Oh, nice. My word.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, it was, yeah. So we could get them, but
yeah, nobody wants to pay that.
Nobody
much.
Was going to want to pay that. So we should have, we'll let you know as soon as we do.
And talking about rose season, the good news is the David Austin roses have come in. The bad news is the David Austin roses have almost sold out.
Yes.
We still do have some. So if you're interested in getting a David Austin rose, I would get into either of the stores as quickly
Are
as
you getting
possible.
One?
And you
yeah.
got
you
yours, right?
We did get them. I don't know how quickly they've sold. I haven't.
Well, there were just a few varieties that we had plenty of, but most of the varieties we only got a few of, and some of those have come and gone, and other ones will disappear this weekend, and we'll still have a few varieties for those that want the David Austins, and then we can talk about where they can see a great David Austin rose garden next week.
That sounds like a plan. You've been listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We will see you next Saturday morning at 6 o'clock right here. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.